The bag is packed with the sticks. The drinks are cold. And the scorecard's ready to go. Time to hit the links.
You can caddy for me whenever you want, Gabe Neitzel.
If I was your caddy, you'd become dangerous. I just feel like that. I feel that you would just be a dangerous
person. This is On the Tee, presented by Wisconsin Golf Trips.
Like, Spieth is probably going to, like, embarrass me at some point because I may try to, you know, hey, Jordan, maybe we shouldn't have. What the hell do you know? Shut up and carry the bag. Okay. Yes, sir, Mr. Spieth. Yes, yes, sir.
Go get that.
Broadcasting live from the Gruber Law Office's One Call That's All studios at The Avenue, alongside Bally Sports' Stephen Watson. Here's Gabe Neitzel.
It is a busy week here on the tee. I wish we had more time. I really do. But we've only got an hour. We've got to sprint through the hour.
Let's maximize this hour. Go, Gabe.
So many things that we got to get to. We're going to get to Stephen Watson and his experience playing Pinehurst, because I feel like this is a course that gets a lot of hype that not a lot of people necessarily understand. So I want to try to best explain that. So you being there a couple of years ago playing it, I think certainly that is going to help. We've got some audio for some players throughout the course of the week, I think is going to help explain that. And also to help us explain that and talk a little bit about the trip we're taking to Scotland in October. From Wisconsin Golf Trips, we welcome in our friend Jason Coughlin, who is live at Pinehurst. Jason, first of all, thank you for the time and jumping on. So,
can we call him On the Tee Reporter?
Yeah, might as well.
live reporting from the field with Jason Coughlin.
Yes. So explain to everybody what you are doing down in Pinehurst and how many years you have now been doing this.
Yeah, so I very smartly, when the U.S. Open rolled through Erin Hills in 2017, kissed the right butt to get on the USGA Walking Score Committee, one of the hardest committees to get on for volunteers anywhere in the world of golf. So I am an official scorekeeper who's inside the ropes with one group every day, keeping the official scorekeep, and I'm at Pinehurst again this year.
So right now, as you call in live from Pinehurst, where are you sitting?
I'm in the 12th grandstand. There's not much going on. There's one guy playing 13, but for all you golf geeks out there, I'm watching two USGA officials work the stimp meter on the 12th green as we speak.
Oh, tell me what number are they at?
Speeds.
What number are they at, Jason?
Now, Stephen, I can't see from here exactly what we're talking about, but the guys are on their hands and knees, and they're at the cup, and they are looking at every blade of grass. It's awesome golf geek stuff, I'll tell you that.
I want to see 13. I want to see 14.
Oh, dear Lord.
I want carnage, Jason.
Stephen's, well, sitting on number 12 green reminds me how much I hated playing this place. It is crowned on every conceivable side. There's like 18 different sectors of the green. It's insanity. It's insanity out here.
So with the tee times being released today, do you know the group that you're going to be walking with?
Yeah, if nothing changes, I've got three what I'd call no-namers that you, me, and Stephen couldn't pick out of a lineup if we were paid to tomorrow on Thursday. But it looks like Friday I might have some action. Friday morning, I think I've got Jason Day, Harris English, and Tom Kim, which very much excites me to see Tom Kim up close.
That's a low-key, sneaky good group there.
That's a really good. You've got a major winner in there. Harris English is as good of an iron player as there is, and Tom Kim's won a handful of times before 21.
I was one group away from, I'm right behind, or right in front of the Rory, Xander, Scotty group, but that's okay. That's okay. We'll take Tom Kim and run with it.
Hey, you know what? You can talk Whistling Straits with Jason Day and Harris English and have a good
old time. Sure,
a lot of ties to Wisconsin.
I met Jason Day at Brown Deer when his first tournament as a pro, one of those first tournaments. So, yeah, I'd love to chat with him about that if I was allowed to, but I don't think those things normally come up in a normal day. You just keep your score and you shake a hand and maybe you get a free ball at the end with an autograph and you say thanks and you go your merry way, usually.
So as somebody that is there on the grounds, Jason, as we talk with Jason Coughlin, WisconsinGolfTrips.com, check out the site, of course, proud partner here of On the Tee. And as somebody who has played the course and as somebody who has been there now the last couple of days, what makes Pinehurst number 2 a special place? What makes it the place that the USGA wants to put 5 of the next 25 U.S. Opens at?
Yeah, I think, Gabe, you know, obviously they moved, you know, a temporary headquarters for the USGA here. They're heavily invested in the course itself. They put money into it. The logistics and the infrastructure, I think, worked very well for a big tournament. It's got the history. It's got, and again, it's one of those courses that I don't, Stephen, you can correct me on this. I don't think the normal amateur really enjoys it like they do other places. You get beat up pretty bad, but I can understand why the place tipped out and with hard pin positions is a great test of golf for the professional golfer. I think that's probably the main reason is just the history and the fact that it can be turned into such a difficult golf course.
Jason, you're telling me that people don't mind just paying hundreds of dollars to get their butt kicked? Isn't that what golf is?
Well, listen.
Don't you have a business model that's based on that?
People literally pay you to torture them, Jason.
Well, I will be frank. Here's the story I tell all the time. Is this simple fact, Stephen? Nobody walks off of Erin Hills or Whistling Straits and looks around and questions, why did I spend this much money to play this place? Nobody.
I thought you were going to say walked off and was upset about their round. I've seen some rounds at Erin.
You can get beat up at all these places, but I'm just saying for what you pay, my job as a tour operator, whether it's a $50 course or a $700 course, does it fit your group and is it worth playing? And the first time I played Pinehurst number 2 and I got to the third hole and I was by a road and I was by some houses, I was kind of thinking, this is so mundane compared to what we have in Wisconsin. No offense to Pinehurst too. So it's just not, you know, it's flat. It's there's not much to look at. It's just a very hard test, plain and simple.
Who do you think is going to eventually be the winner at Pinehurst number 2 in the U.S. Open?
Oh, I may have some wagers down on a couple guys. I did by chance, before I knew who I had, I did have $5 on Tom Kim at probably 80-1 after the way he played with Rory recently, last couple tournaments. And then I took Bryson. I think Bryson, it was like 22-1. I think Bryson was at the right money for a little bit, just the way he's played in the majors this year. But as I'm looking at this fairway, you guys, and again, I just came from my walking scoring training, which was very different than any other of the walking scoring trainings I've ever been to, because there is no rough. There is no rough to hit from. When I go to mark where the ball is resting, when I put in for the guy to play his next shot, there are only three options. It is the fairway, the native area, or other. So it is, you're either in the fairway or you're taking your chances in that wispy, crazy stuff off the fairway. That's it. There's no other options besides that or the bunkers.
Are you going to tell Tom Kim that you bet on him?
Well, I mean, again, if he shoots 63 on Friday, I might mention it to him.
You can't talk to him? You can't say hi?
I can tell you the story about how I had money on Xander Schauffele fairways hit when I walked scoring for him, and I realized that I could actually control the narrative on it a little bit.
Wow.
And,
oh, no.
That's a little too much inside baseball for us, Jason. We want you to keep your job.
As a degenerate gambler, it was intoxicating until he missed the second fairway by 3 inches, and I got so upset I couldn't even think straight. But we'll move on from there. Listeners don't care about our gambling habits, Gabe.
Well, yeah, so let's go ahead and talk about something that we're looking forward to in the month of October,
Might
Jason.
Be some gambling there.
Could be some gambling going on within some groups, I'm sure. But we're heading to Scotland in October. You have planned the trip. It's fantastic. Just text the word golf, G-O-L-F, to 800-990-3776. See the entire itinerary. You can even put a down payment on, see the entire dates and everything that we have. And new this year, because when we initially planned this, Jason, you had, and these gaps still exist, in the itinerary, there is a day for 12 of us to go and potentially play the old course because you can't get a tee time on it, but you might be able to get into the lottery and get it. And on another day, the other 12 people are going to have an opportunity to play the old course. But they're changing the way that, and they have changed the way, I should say, that they're doing the lottery process and the ballot process if you want to be a single to get on at the Old Course in Scotland. What do you know about this new process that we're going to experience in October?
Yeah, well, I'll explain how the process works, and I guess my answer to everybody is I think it's still so new into the season that I don't know if there's been a huge grasp on exactly how well it's working so far. I haven't talked to my contacts over there to find out what their customers are running into, but so the way they changed it, which is mainly stemming from the fact that this idea of waiting overnight and getting in line became so popular that they were running into, you know, logistical issues where there were just so many people out there with, you know, pop-up tents and sleeping bags that it just became a little bit of a circus. So what they did was they eliminated the ability to stand in line and guarantee that you'd be the first one chosen if you waited that long. And they went to more of an electronic system where you go in the day before 5 p.m. the day before, and you put your name into the ring for going out the following day. And then through a randomized process at 5 o'clock, they select the people from who has come into the building to put their name in physically, go into the building and do so. They fill the slots for the following day. So the negative, I can't say to anyone anymore, if you're willing to put the effort in, that you will almost for sure get out on the Old Course. The positive is you'll know the day before. You won't be sleeping outside when it's 30 degrees, and you'll know the day before if you need to plan accordingly. So I think that the positive for a group like ours is for somebody going on this trip that really, really, really wants to make the Old Course part of this trip, they could conceivably go in there every day of the trip and put in their name for the following day. Now, obviously, if you get chosen, you're very likely probably going to have to sacrifice whatever round we have booked and you've paid for. But that's, if that's important to you, then that is an option for sure.
If somebody's listening and they're on the fence about whether or not they want to go to Scotland, what would you tell them as to why they should join us? Because I think this is a trip that everybody who's already booked is not going to forget, and people need to sign up soon as they can.
Yeah, it sounds like spots are filling up fast here, right, Jason?
Slots are filling up fast, and again, we're on the cusp of pulling the trigger on the right flight for everybody out of Chicago. That again, people are on their own for flights, and you can book whatever you want, but we will have a main flight that we will get booked. You know, for anybody that wants to travel with Gabe and Steven, I'm assuming, and I'm going to be already over there with my group. So I'll be meeting everybody at the airport. But I just think that we're playing Carnoustie, we're playing Kings Barnes, we're playing Dumbarney Links, three of the best courses you could possibly play in Scotland. We're playing the Castle Course. We're playing either the New Course or the Jubilee Course. So we're getting a taste of the St. Andrews flavor. We're probably going to have time on that opening day to play one of the local courses. I love the fact that pretty much the dinners are all included in what we're doing. There's a couple nights where people are on their own, but any group meals are included in the price tag. Ground transportation has been figured out. And if you haven't taken a hard look at where we're staying, first of all, we're ending at four nights at the Old Course Hotel, the most famous golf hotel in the world. And then we're starting at a place called the Hawkswood Estates, which I think might be the most perfect place for 24 golfers to spend their time screwing around and getting excited for a golf trip. So please take a look at it if you haven't done so.
Again, all you have to do is text GOLF, G-O-L-F, to 800-990-3776, 800-990-3776, the word GOLF. And you can see the entire itinerary. It is unlike anything you have ever done before. Jason, thank you so much for the time. Thank you for the reporting live on the grounds at Pinehurst number 2. Enjoy your week as one of the official scorers there.
Yeah, Jason, if you need an intern in years future, you let me know.
Thanks, you guys. Look forward to talking to you again, and certainly looking forward to Scotland in October.
Again, Jason Coughlin joining us live from Pinehurst. That guy is everywhere. Like, his daughter was playing golf at Central Michigan, and it was her final year, so he was kind of following her around. He's doing these other international trips. He's going all over the place because, again, not only does he do these international trips, he's booking people here in Wisconsin, booking people to Michigan, Nevada, Minnesota, all these great things. Just check out WisconsinGolfTrips.com.
He's made golf his life. He's a smart man.
He's a very smart man.
Keep your friends close. Keep your golf friends closer. And that's what Jason Coughlin has done.
Steven Watson went down and played Pinehurst number 2 a couple of years ago. We're going to hear about his experience and why this golf course is becoming a tentpole for the USGA and the US Men's Open. We do that coming up next on the team. Pinehurst number two hosting the US Open this week. And of the next 25 U.S. Opens, it'll be hosting five. So it's become a tentpole. And they hosted in 1999, which I think is a historic U.S. Open because it was the last major that Payne Stewart won before he tragically passed away later that fall in an airplane accident. It hosted a U.S. Open in 2004, 5 years later. That one, not as well known because it was Michael Campbell who ended up winning. Maybe known more for Jason Gore making a shocking run and then falling apart on Sunday. And then Martin Keimer ran away with it 10 years ago before they now come back a decade later. But it is, I mean, I believe they're adding yet another course to Pinehurst.
Number 10 is already completed.
No, it's completed now?
Yep.
Okay.
And open.
So it is a golf mecca in the United States. I mean, we talk about sometimes the way Kohler is a golf factory. Pinehurst is a golf factory with the number of courses that they have there and as popular as it is. And it's a popular destination now for a lot of people to go to.
And it's not just the 10 courses at Pinehurst facility. It's all of the ones around there. Mid Pines, Southern Pines, Tobacco Road, which a lot of people talk about. It's kind of like hipster golf circles as one of the more exciting golf courses you can play. It's like a tricked out mini course for 18 holes. I got a chance to make that a part of my itinerary when I went down there in November of 2022, and I have never had more elevation changes, unique golf shots, and like made me think more in a round than when I played Tobacco Road, and it was a blast.
I got to get you up to Gray Walls in Marquette.
Yeah.
I got to get you up there sometime. That's, you know, neither here nor there as I throw my pen. But you got to play Pinehurst number two a couple of years ago. Why is this course going to be the one that is kind of being that tent pole and is going to be, and I know the USGA doesn't like calling it a rotation or a rota the way that the British Open does, and they rotate around. But it kind of seems that's what's happening here at the USGA, especially because they're constantly coming back to Pinehurst every 5 years or so.
Well, you heard Jason talk about USGA locating there. That plays a factor into this decision to have it continue to be a course that they go back to. We've seen a lot of the U.S. Opens find courses they like, Pebble, you know, Oakmont, courses that they want to continue, Shinnecock, that they want to keep in the rotation. The thing that's special about number two is that it truly is a test of golf that I've never seen before in the United States. What Donald Ross built there was spectacular. Like, when you're actually out there, there's no crazy elevation changes. What you see is what you get. And then you get inside 30 yards and you're playing a different golf course. The Turtleback greens are the hardest greens that I've ever played
on. So let's pause on the Turtleback greens.
Yeah.
Like, go into more detail about that, because it's, I remember very distinctly as a kid watching the 1999 U.S. Open that Payne Stewart won.
Yeah.
And it was the first time I had heard about Turtleback greens. I was very intrigued by them. Like, I understand the concept of what it means by a Turtleback green, but what are you, when you play it, when you see it, like, how is that more different, better, worse than your average green that you play?
Take the course that you would play most regularly, take the most dramatic false front that you would play, and put it on all four corners of the hole. And that's what most greens are like there. The rest of the test is not too hard. I mean, granted, I'm not playing it from 7,500 yards like they're about to this weekend. I played it about almost 1,000 yards less than that when I played out there. The shot into the green, you have to either drop a teardrop with a tiny bit of spin and have it check up in the middle of the green, because you don't try and test any other part of the green than the middle. Think about a Turtleback, right? Like, you have to just be in the middle of the green. You don't chase pins out there. But your misses can turn into 50-yard misses really fast. And what makes that course unique is that there's missing and then there's missing. like, you can be 3 yards and it turned into 40, 50 yards. Mm-hmm. And that's really what this test is all about. Where you miss is how you score. And that was what I enjoyed about it as a low single-digit handicap. I had friends that were on this trip who are good golfers as 12s who walked off the course and threw a middle finger in the air at Donald Ross. And I think that's what Jason was kind of saying about his experience playing it. It might be too hard for the amateur golfer because these greens, they don't let up at any time of the year. yes, they have them cooking for a U.S. Open, they're probably going to roll to a 13-14. If you look at videos on social media right now of what these guys are doing, they're dropping balls and watching it, you know, go
roll
all the
50 yards. Yeah,
and that's true. But with that also comes a different test for these pros that I'm excited to see. We're going to see creativity link style that we don't get in the U.S. very often. We're going to see bump and runs. We're going to see Texas wedges like you wouldn't believe. That's how Martin Keimer won in 2014. Is he putt everything?
Yeah.
Gabe, this was the beginning of my chipping yips, was at Pinehurst number two. I got out there, and I started trying to hit bump and runs with a 56 degree, and the ball was coming back to my feet. And that's when I started putting everything. And it was honestly one of the cooler golf experiences for me was watching a Texas wedge, being able to putt from 40, 50 yards off because the grass is so true there. And it was actually safer to putt than to chip. And that's what I'm excited about this weekend, is to see how creative these guys get.
Well, I don't know. I mean, I guess you still can putt, but they're trying to make you think a little bit more than Keimer did. They're not, it's not going to be like thick rough. It's just going to be shaggier.
Yeah.
In some of the collared areas before you get on the green. So you have to hit it pretty hard to get through, and then you have to really be able to then control your, you know, how hard you're hitting that putt, because next thing you know, it doesn't make it up that turtle back, or it starts rolling a little too far and goes off on the other end. So they're trying to force maybe a little bit more wedges and getting people to think about bumps and runs.
And that's why
Wagner did a great segment yesterday on Golf Channel about all the different options that you can have around the green.
And if you're in a greenside bunker, it's not the easy shot that most guys would have, because you have to hit it perfectly because it will roll off the back. And then you play back and forth. And that's what I did many times out there. I made four double bogeys out there and three birdies. It felt like a Jordan Spieth round. That was the closest I've ever felt to Jordan. Was I walked out there and I had some of the best ball striking I've had on a course of that caliber in my entire life. And I felt good about having four doubles. That's what that course can do to you if you miss in the wrong spots and you find yourself going back and forth off of those turtleback greens.
What about the sandy kind of native areas? Because that's the biggest difference. And what I remember, again, about 1999 was drastically different to what they did. I can't remember who ended up doing the renovation of the course to kind of get back to its original roots and get rid of a lot of the thick, luscious, you know, rough that they had back in 1999 when Payne won, versus we just heard Jason talking about it. Rough is not an option as he's walking down with his iPad trying to figure out what he's putting down for the score of where this ball is. Rough is not an option. You're either in these natural sandy areas, you end up in a fairway bunker, or you're in the fairway.
Yeah, well, the grass is so tight there that the sand is not very deep. So you actually treat the sand like you would the fairway. So if you're in the sand, it doesn't feel like you're hitting that dramatic of a shot. You're just going to generate more spin on your golf ball, which when you fly a ball up onto those greens, you better have control with your spin. What I will say is you have to be really lucky if you're going to be off the fairway, because if you find yourself in a clump of that wire grass, it's worse than any fescue shot you've ever hit. And if your ball is laying on one side of it, or it can catch any part of the hosel of your club, that ball can go anywhere. And I learned that the hard way a few times. Because if you watch how a lot of the holes are designed, it's kind of like a curvy S-shaped fairway, and it gets really tight in a lot of the landing spots for these pros. If you look at like right around the 300 mark, for me, it was probably the 250 mark, which is about where my landing spot is. And you can just see that Donald Ross created this golf course to get tight in your landing spots, to force your ball into that sand and into that wiry grass area. So it truly is a test. But hitting off the sand is actually pretty easy. It's if you can get lucky and avoid those clumps of that native wire grass, that's really what is going to be the difference if you're not in the middle of the fairway.
One of the criticisms I've heard of Pinehurst number two is that, and I feel like we do this with every course, whenever we go and play, and I feel if you go on buddies trips, you go and you'll do this. We'll probably do this when we go over to Scotland after you get done. Hey, what was your favorite hole? And one of the criticisms of Pinehurst number two is that they all just kind of run together. Would you agree with that?
I wholeheartedly agree. I actually before, you know, going on the air, just did a hole-by-hole flyover. And not going to lie, there were a couple holes where I'm like, I have no idea where my ball was on this hole. I have my scorecard right in front of me.
Yeah, I was about to say, you brought some stuff for show and tell. You've got the Pinehurst bag. You've got the, you know, if you happen to be listening to this, you can also check out our YouTube stream on the ESPN Milwaukee
forget
page.
The scorecard. Let me show you.
The real reason that we're bringing this up.
All right, so this is a coin. Okay. It's not just any coin.
What does it say on the coin?
It's a Deuce coin.
Okay.
And Deuce is the restaurant that sits on number 2. It's on the backside of number 18. And a lot of people who play or come out for lunch, they'll watch people come up 18, and there's a nice patio there, and people are cheering. It's one of the cooler finishes in golf because it's very intimate there, the finish in 18. But if you make a 2 on number 2, you walk up to the bartender at the Deuce, you show them your scorecard, and they hand you this coin. So I made a birdie on the par 3 sixth, and so I was able to receive a 2-on-2 coin that I will forever get to keep. And it says, I'll drink to that.
Okay, so quick follow-up to that.
Yeah.
Because you said you don't hit towards pins. You're only trying to hit towards middle of greens.
Yes.
So you're standing on 6, at Pinehurst number 2.
Yep.
Did you hit the ball in the middle of the green, pour in a long putt? Or did you just kind of pull it, push it a little bit, and got away with the miss, and it ended up near the hole?
So it was a front right pin. When you watch 6 this weekend, it's like a clover, right? So it was a front right, and the actual play from my caddy was to play the backstop because it kind of all funnels to that bottom right. Is that primary miss? And he's like, played off the backstop, and I hit the best 7-iron of my entire life to this day. And it hit the backstop. It settled right by the pin, and it was a tap-in, too, with my buddies, and the rest of my group was behind.
So at this
and everybody
point,
knew that, what was at stake, right?
At this point, you had not made an ace.
No, it wasn't that close.
Okay.
It didn't, like, trickle close, but it settled exactly where he told me to hit it. It was one of those caddy moments where I heard him, I delivered. There's no better feeling than watching that ball in the air. But it was one of the... I mean, obviously, making a hole-in-one was the biggest celebration I've had. I've had some big putts in matches. But the scream that I made when I made the 2 on number 6 at Pinehurst, just because I knew I was getting this stupid little coin, was a little embarrassing.
We still have so much more to go with the U.S. Open preview. And anytime we're thinking about the U.S. Open here on the tee, of course, we think about our friends at Erin Hills, hosted the 2017 U.S. Open. And they're going to be hosting in less than a year the U.S. Women's Open next season. So make sure you check out great ticket opportunities for that. Play Erin Hills as well. It's Golf Digest's 10th ranked public course in the nation. You're not going to regret it. Learn more at erinhills.com. You know how much I love golf, you know how much I love baseball, and you can combine both now with X-Golf at American Family Field. Because right now, you can purchase your Sim Dime and game tickets, combine both on the Brewers single game ticket website. Then you can go check out the Brewers, maybe during this week during the homestand, and take advantage of the great food and beverage options inside X-Golf at American Family Field. Great views of the field, and of course, Bernie Slide is right there. And if you make a hole-in-one at X-Golf at American Family Field, while playing a regular round, game day, non-game day, just playing a regular round at X-Golf at American Family Field, you and a friend get to go down Bernie's slide. Find out more at xgolfamfamfield.com. Anytime you talk about the U.S. Open, as we're getting ready for this week at Pinehurst number 2, and it seemed like maybe the last couple of years the talk has been kind of calmed down about the conditions. What condition is the course going to be in? What kind of carnage are we going to see from the USGA? And I feel that's calmed the last couple of years.
There will be carnage this weekend.
It kind of seems like it, especially when you hear in one of the first press conferences from the defending champion in Wyndham Clark, and he has this to say about the greens at Pinehurst number 2.
Yeah, I mean, they are extremely fast. If they get any firmer and faster, the greens would... I mean, they'd be borderline, and they already are borderlines.
Poof. By the way, no more rain in the forecast right now, I believe, for Pinehurst number 2. Just sun and wind, and that's not going to... That means that those things are not getting any...
I want to see those guys struggle like I did, and my buddies did, when we went there in November of 22. But you know what I love about that soundbite? Is that I've heard other professional golfers say this is the purest greens they've ever played on. And that's what I feel like makes number two shine, is that you have that varying opinion of this is too hard and guys saying this is what golf should be. And that truly is a test. That's what the U.S. Open is aiming to do with all of their tournaments, is make it the toughest test in golf. And right now, the way number two is, it is the toughest test on this calendar year for golf.
And it will be all year long. And I don't think that's a bad thing. Like, people like Tyrrell Hatton, who have complained about Augusta National, well, I hit a good shot and it doesn't end up near the pin. Well, guess what that means then? It wasn't a good shot. You didn't hit the right shot. And that's what I love about this. Equipment is so damn good nowadays. Bryson's making self-correcting irons, where if he hits it off the toe or he hits it off the heel, especially at his swing speed, he was explaining this to Golf Channel today, and like, to Johnson Wagner was the one doing the interview. Like, oh, you've built clubs that at your swing speed, if you hit it off the toe or the heel, it kind of corrects itself and goes back to the middle. Like, that's taking it a little too far. So, like, these, the, like,
isn't
the
that like corking your own bat?
It kind of seems like it. And he's just parading around saying, yeah, these are conforming clubs. But if that's what we're dealing with, yeah, then the landing areas are going to have to be small around these greens. In a shot that you think shouldn't be punished by rolling 50 yards away, guess what? Then it should be punished by rolling 50 yards away. I have zero problem with that. I think you should be tested mentally. A lot of times we see guys just pin their ears back and go on the PGA Tour. Having one of these a year where you are tested, not just your game, but your mental game, which we all know is such a big, important part of golf, I have zero problem with.
And you watch how this course in particular has evolved with the restoration they had in 2011, how different it looks than some of the past U.S. Opens that it has hosted on that property. And it makes me think of a comment that Victor Hovland had meeting with the media this week, where he said, this is a place that will reward being aggressive off the tee and conservative by the greens. And it's a place where it's that on steroids. And that's what I think I'm most excited about. The videos that I've seen of Justin Rose having a bucket of balls practicing his Texas wedge. Where else do you see that in golf?
You don't.
Where guys have buckets of balls practicing putting off the green. It's cool to have a different course. We don't need rough. I mean, this the grass and the sand and the combo of even the trees and, you know, pine straw that you might run into, these guys will be plenty tested, you know, in different ways than what you see on a week-to-week on the PGA Tour.
And I kind of like that more than, you know, some of the other traditional, and I use traditional air quotes, U.S. Open courses that just have that thick rough off the fairway, right? Yeah. Okay, you just got to hack out, now you got to hope to get up and down to save your par. You hit it into the native area, and you were just talking about, you know, a lot of the wire grass that exists in there. Yeah, maybe you get boned and you have to chip out sideways, but maybe you draw a decent lie.
Yeah, it's like playing roulette.
But it's also a different test now of controlling your spin out of there as you're trying to hit into these greens at Pinehurst number two. I just think there are so many different things that we are going to see. And I know I complained on the show about Valhalla and how there was just no punishment. It seemed like if you hit a bad shot, there's going to be punishment for bad shots here. And I feel really good about the winner walking away from this.
And to your to our conversation in the previous segment about memorable holes out there, I think that's what also kind of makes it sneaky fun, is it just grinds you. Like, these the holes are just like, what you see is what you get. And Donald Ross says, come get me. And then you get to the greens and you're like, all right, I get it now. And that's what makes that property really special. And I will say, the finishing stretch of 16, 17, 18, as good of a stretch of golf as I've played in my life and that I've seen, and I think that that part is really going to shine on TV like it did in 2014 and like it has with Payne Stewart, obviously, making his famous birdie against Phil Mickelson on 17 on the par 3 that set him up to win on 18. There's late drama opportunities on those three holes. I think it's going to be a great test. I think we're going to see some numbers that are going to be high and not as much in the red as you're used to seeing at a tournament.
So you've mentioned some things about this golf course. It's flat, rewards creativity. Can this be the place for Tiger? And because we've seen at Augusta, I mean, he was non-competitive at Valhalla, some elevation changes there. We've seen him at Augusta be able to grind out and make cuts. But then clearly the walk is just too much for him and his body gives way. Could this be a place where he could actually be competitive? You mentioned how flat it is. There's no, I mean, yes, there's the wire grass that maybe he has to punch out sideways, but there's no thick rough where he's really got to just torque his back to try to muscle something out. Like, could this be the course? He had some success. He competed in 99, competed in 2005. Had good years, obviously didn't win.
Didn't play in 14 because of an injury.
Correct.
Yeah.
But this, I mean, could this be the place? If ever there was a place that Tiger Woods in 2024 could be, I'm not saying he goes out and wins, but like relatively competitive, could this be the place being flat? And I don't know if there's a more creative player in the game today still than Tiger.
I see your argument. I still think Augusta is his best opportunity just because of his course knowledge there.
But he's got no chance. He's got no chance at Augusta. He can't walk. But, he can't walk 72 holes at Augusta.
But the
and
heat,
be competitive.
The heat concerns me for Tiger too.
No, the heat is what he needs. He needs the heat.
You talk to him about it?
Well, no, but you've seen him. Have you seen him when it's gotten cold at Augusta? When it got cold at some of the other majors that they've played in? That when the dude has to like bundle up, it just makes me sad. The heat's good. The heat's good
he
for the back.
He looks so cold.
He does. Somebody get just the man an electric blanket.
He's old and cold.
Yeah, it just yes, because he looks
I'll,
as old
I'll,
and frail.
I'll play your game, Neitzel. Yeah, it would
you
suit
be,
Tiger.
You don't have to be so condescending about the yeah you I, throw
well,
in there.
Yeah, no, you want me. You're trying to feed like this is it. We can believe
well,
again.
No, I'm just saying. I'm not saying we believe again. I'm just saying, I'm trying to figure out, because you have people like Colin Morikawa going out there and saying, man, I was at this clinic that Tiger had. He still has everything. He still has all the shots. He still has the speed. We've seen the speed. We've seen him be able to put it, you know, be able to swing a golf club. Like, that's not a problem. The problem is walking and being able to do it over the course because of all the injuries his body has consumed over the course of 4 days. And a lot of the places that they've played majors recently aren't these flat golf courses.
Yeah.
And even like some of the places that they've played for the British Open over, you know, Scotland, Ireland, in the UK, it's, well, I mean, there's like subtleties to it where it's uneven lies and it's asking a lot of his reconstructed leg where this seems pretty flat. If there is a place, to me, this could be it. I'm not saying it happens. I'm just saying I think this could be the place, the one place he could actually compete and make things interesting.
Here's maybe why I'll believe. It has nothing to do with his swing. It has nothing to do with the golf course. It has everything to do with it being Father's Day weekend.
Well, you mentioned Father's Day weekend. And you mentioned, so Charlie's been walking around with Tiger during his practice rounds. Here's what Tiger Woods had to say about his son's responsibilities with him at Pinehurst number 2 this week.
I trust him with my swing and my game. He's seen it more than anybody else in the world. He's seen me hit more golf balls than anyone. So I tell him what to look for, especially with putting. And he gave me a couple little side bits today, which was great because I get so entrenched in hitting certain putts to certain pins, and I tend to forget some of the things I'm working on. I just want to see the balls roll, and he reminds me every now and again, which is great. We have a great relationship and a great rapport like that, and it's a wonderful experience for both of us.
Last question here.
So with Tiger, he's not working with the swing coach because he's kind of got to craft a swing the best he can. So he's working with Charlie. Him and Charlie are the ones responsible for these feels and swings.
You know how I always talk about this when it comes to majors? The stories write themselves.
Mm-hmm.
This story's starting to write itself.
Oh, so now you're starting to you're starting to feel it. Yeah.
I'm thinking about it being Father's Day.
Sunday red hats for us all.
All, you know, walking around with Charlie being inside the ropes with him. You know, I'm not going to stand here and make my pick that it's Tiger Woods.
Mm-hmm.
But I would not be surprised to see Woods in red on a leaderboard on Saturday.
Well, he's not going to be wearing red on Saturday.
The name of the brand is going to be under par. Red. Okay. I understand his brand. I know he wears. I'm saying the name Woods will be coated in red on Saturday. I still just don't believe that he has enough to do it over 72 at this point. And I don't know if his putting is quite there yet on what Donald Ross's design is going to ask of these guys.
So I would argue that, and it's almost like Augusta, where nobody actually putts all that well. Yeah, you make roll a few putts in here and there, but the greens are so difficult that nobody really putts that well, and that kind of works in his favor.
Sure.
I think that can work in his favor. If Tiger's under par and I'm the leaderboard on Saturday, like, I'm not going to be okay. Like, I just want to get that out there. I will not be fine.
I'm, like, dipping my toes into this idea of Tiger being there.
Yeah.
Strictly from a storytelling standpoint of, it'd be pretty cool.
It would be really good.
To have Charlie walking down the fairways with Dad in meaningful Sunday attire.
It would be cool. It would, I don't think it happens, but I think if there's one place where it could, it seems like with all the health things that he's been dealing with, this could potentially be the place. One place that's certainly not flat, but you're going to have a lot of fun playing the undulation, the up and down. I am talking about the bog, 18 unforgettable holes, 250 acres of natural private land. The Bog provides the ultimate golf experience. Book your next tee time, call 262-284-7075, or just go to golfthebog.com. We give our picks coming up next on the tee.
Please join me in welcoming back to the interview area three-time champion Tiger Woods. Tiger, how does it feel to be back at the U.S. Open, but especially one here at Pinehurst?
Okay, the only reason I wanted to play that person, how are they that unexcited? Like, they just rattled through in the most monotone, almost as if they were annoyed that they had to ask Tiger Woods what it was like playing in another U.S. Open back at Pinehurst.
Sounded like AI. Be honest with you. Gabe, I'm going to put you on the spot. If you had the opportunity to introduce Tiger Woods at Pinehurst U.S. Open press conference, do it.
Have you ever seen the movie A Knight's Tale with, now I'm blanking.
Hartnett?
No. Heath Ledger.
Heath Ledger, yeah. Okay, yeah.
I would do it very similarly than like the guy who introduces him before like all the jousting things.
Yeah.
Like, come on.
You would stand up, wouldn't you?
Of course I would. I would encourage everybody else to stand up.
You're a big wrestling guy, so I feel like you would really lean into that moment.
Oh, yeah. Oh, of course I would. Absolutely I would. And it would, yes. I mean, it's Tiger Woods. But even, I mean, look, I understand you're introducing all these people throughout the course of the day, but, like, can we at least slow down and make
Ladies
it seem like you're having, like, you're just, hey, here's Tiger. Like, be a human in that moment. Hey, Tiger, what's it like to be back at a U.S. Open?
Would you ask everybody to rise?
Oh, yeah. Like, I would like...
Please rise and remove your cap.
We would get it rolling.
The goat has arrived.
Do want to thank our friends at The Bog, 18 unforgettable holes, 250 acres of natural private land. The Bog provides ultimate golf experience. Book your next tee time at golfthebog.com. And X-Golf at American Family Field. If you make a hole-in-one at X-Golf AmFam Field, you and a friend get to go down Bernie's Slide. It has to be during a regular round of golf. Nothing during the Beat the Pros, driving range, any of the contests they do out there. Find out more. X-Golf AmFam Field. .com. Time for our Gruber Law Offices One Call. That's all picked for the weekend. U.S. Open Week, Steven, who you got?
I made it back in March. I'm sticking with my guy. My Gruber Law Offices One Call, That's All Pick is a guy who's going to be the next to win his first major, Mr. Max Homa. Going to take it home. It rewards good iron play. It rewards great putting. Max can do both. I'm picking Max to win at Pinehurst.
I don't know how you pick anybody but Scotty right now.
Well, that's just the low-hanging fruit.
Yeah, I haven't used him in my, in the one-and-done league that we're in. So I think this seems like the good time to burn Scottie Scheffler. Because the one thing it does reward is, you mentioned Victor Hovland talking about aggressive driving. So I think guys like Scottie, who can hit it deceptively a little bit farther, Bryson, I think, could have another good week here. The problem is you have to be pretty precise with your iron play, and Colin Morikawa has been somebody who's been playing really good, so I would keep my eye on
Colin. Three straight top five finishes. And then Bryson, T6 Masters, second in the PGA. He led the field in scrambling in the PGA. Could you imagine?
I think Bryson should be on everybody's shortlist. Like, I think he should be. I mean, he's cheating because of the clubs that he has, but because of those irons, I think that he can certainly be somebody that is on your shortlist as well. I'm going to enjoy it. Steven, I know, is going to enjoy it as well. The U.S. Open at Pinehurst number 2. We'll react to it next week right here on the Tee.